I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman Show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined this week by Mr. Lance Lester. What's up, Lance?
I'm in there.
You talk toe?
I'm talking.
You talk toe?
I'm talking.
You talk toe? I'm in there. All right, that's Key and Peele. Best comedy show of all time? Maybe.
Maybe.
My favorite comedy show of all time. Maybe. that is a skit of Barack Obama having just given a speech, and Jordan Peele is playing him going down a row of contributors or fans or something.
He's obviously the best guy to do Obama.
Yeah, he's perfect.
He's perfect. He's perfect. It's spot on.
and this meme recently resurfaced because somebody decided to assign all Marvel Cinematic movies to all the people.
Yeah.
It's so funny. If you haven't seen it, go see it. I made a similar version myself. For the DC movies, and much like the real Marvel movies and the real DC movies, mine did not be as popular, did not go viral. No one cared about it, and it's just fading to obscurity. But the Marvel meme is still going strong.
It is, and you know what? Like, you know, maybe you should do a Smallville one
with episodes. Huh?
Yeah,
maybe I should.
You should
think about that. So there you go. So Lance is back from last week. We talked about Talisman,
yeah.
And this week we're talking about Forsaken. But hey, I want to just say it now. Guys, you'll have to listen all the way through, guys, to find out what their special announcement is in this episode. It's not like you can just fast forward any time, but yes, we have a very special announcement about the future of the podcast coming at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. It's going to be great. So just don't take my word for it.
Ba-dun-dun.
But please, yes, so just please stick around in the end. We have a big announcement for the future of the podcast. I'm excited about it. Lance, are you excited about it?
I am.
But first, we got to talk about Forsaken, which I'm not as excited about, frankly, as our big announcement.
Yeah.
But we got to do it because it's an episode on our list, right?
That's true.
And Lance, do you remember what your thoughts were when you saw this episode for the first time back in 2004?
The first thing that I thought of was like, dang, Pete's really gone?
Yeah. Now, did we give any behind the scenes? Like, were you reading anything of if he was going to be around or not? Did it take you by surprise that he was leaving the show?
It did. It really did take me by surprise, and I thought, I was like, well, what's going to happen now? What's happening next? I mean, we already having, you know, Lana go to Paris, and we don't know, you know, there's uncertainty with Lionel. There's just a lot up in the air at this point, and it was a pretty big deal for somebody who's there from the start and now is no longer going to be on the show. So it definitely caught me by surprise, and I didn't really know how to react to it.
Now, this is, I guess, the seeds have been sown for this back in Talisman, in Talisman, as if that was a long time ago. But actually, in Smallville, the official companion, season 3, by Paul Simpson, available wherever books are sold. They mentioned that the scenes in Talisman were actually filmed back in Legacy. And they were cut out of that episode. And it makes, you know, in hearing that, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Because Pete and Chloe are not in that episode.
Mm.
And then you just lift those. Again, I don't know what it is, the second half or the end third of season 3.
Yeah.
They had no idea what they were doing with scenes or episodes. There's so many deleted scenes. There's so many scenes that they take out of other episodes and put into others and refilm this or that. It's very just like it's odd to me that they hadn't thought this all through. So Al Goff had this to say about it. He said, quote, due to the time, that entire subplot got lifted out. Quite frankly, it fit better in Talisman because it was a better wind-up. If we had set it up in Legacy, by the time you get to Forsaken, you wouldn't remember it. Well, I mean, that an episodic television back then, you know, before this binge culture.
Yeah.
It's funny, we were talking to a friend earlier today. We were hanging out with watching some football, and we were talking about binge-watching versus, like, episodic watching.
Yes.
And we were talking about, like, yeah, you know, I remember what year of school I was in that, and this was going on, and, like, you
what
remember
time of year and stuff like that.
Instead of, like, I love what he said. He said, yeah, that was Friday at 7 p.m. instead of Sunday at 2 p.m. That's the culture we've had now. I don't think I would have forgot it. I just, It did feel, again, this all felt very random, like Pete leaving the show. And we'll talk more about that in the final scene. But, you know, it's interesting to me that, if you, and this is, obviously, this is the second to last episode. It's not the season finale or anything. But if you look back at season one, it looked like all these people were going to leave, right?
Yeah.
Looked like Whitney was leaving. He did leave. Mm-hmm. Looked like Lex was going to leave, but he didn't leave. Looks like Chloe was going to leave, but she didn't leave. You know? Then you go to season two, and you have, you know, Clark leaves, and he does leave, right? And then you get to season three here, and it's like, well, Lionel's going to go to Paris, and Pete's going to move.
And Lionel's going to jail.
And Lionel's going to go to jail. And I'm like, all right, well, more case. So, but, you know, all those really stick. And, yeah, I mean, that was, I mean, he was the only African-American guy on the show. What did that stick you as of him leaving in that respect anyway?
At the time, when it first happened at the time, I didn't really think too much about it. A few years like after the fact, that's when I kind of really noticed it, and that's when I really kind of was like, it was kind of like a red flag in the back of my mind. I was like, oh, well, that's, I mean, now it's like,
who is lost there?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. I mean, if you think about the show in its totality, like after this moment, I'm not sure Clark speaks or interacts with another person of color until he meets Cyborg, honestly.
Yeah, there's Cyborg, Martian Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter, yeah.
Some of those Kryptonians are black.
Yeah.
The guy that went on to be like Captain Pike on
Arrow. Yeah. Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, I think there's
The Kryptonian Namek. DL from Heroes.
Oh yeah. so we've just named three, and the show goes on for seven more years.
Let's be real, okay? Don't cut them short.
Bow Wow, five. Bow Wow.
So mostly Phantom Zone criminals.
Yeah. So
wonderful representation.
Yeah. So like the fact that we have to like have this type of discussion is interesting.
But the show, let's be real, the show is Smallville, Kansas.
Okay.
Not a lot of black people in Smallville, Kansas. Not only Kansas, I mean, you know.
But see, that's kind of a bad excuse.
Not an excuse. I'm just saying an observation.
I know that, but still, but the thing is, like, other people would think that, though. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, it's cool. Like, yeah.
Well, yeah. There's, I mean, there's just not, you know, like this is, there's just not, you know, diversity here.
When
but
Clark,
like,
and let's think about this: when Clark became the football, on the football team next year. I don't remember any black people on the football team either.
I don't either. Oh. But the thing is,
they
killed
Dr. Hamilton.
Yes.
They killed Earl Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of other people of color that have been on the show.
Pete's mom.
I mean, yeah, Jennifer Sisko is moving to Wichita. We never met Pete's dad or any of his brothers.
That's correct.
Could have got Avery Brooks as Pete's dad.
That would have been amazing.
Avery Brooks, who played Captain Sisko in Deep Space Nine, and
Captain,
and I forget the actress's name, but who played Pete's mom and Jennifer Sisko on Deep Space Nine as well. So that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Look, not that this okay, and I'm gonna say this. I don't think it's necessarily a makes it bad, but it does. Like, oh, well, there goes all the color on the show, because literally every main character from this point on is white.
Yes.
I mean, Kirsten Kurig is. Part Asian,
yes,
but and then she leaves season seven.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like in season one, like I remember, like when the show started, and I was like, oh, so you have Clark, obviously, you know, and then but then like Lana Lang, you know, who was not, you know,
ethnic in any way
in the comics, they cast a half white, half Asian actress. That's pretty cool. They cast Pete Ross as a black guy. That's pretty cool. It's like, you know, like, so all, like, you know, you had, you know, little hints of, you know, what the world actually kind of looks like as opposed to what it becomes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's just interesting how it just ended up taking that turn and just kind of becoming, you know, every other CW show up until like a certain year, you know, up until recently.
That's the main reason I think you're on this episode, right? Because when Pete says goodbye, we're going to have our mentions about that later. But, yeah, that's the problem with this episode, is there's so much in it.
Yes.
And nothing fits together correctly. And there's a lot of great stuff that would have been great had it been expanded upon. But I guess there's like four plots in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And they all kind of overlap a little bit, but they're also very disconnected from each other. And it just, honestly, it feels very poorly conceived. And, like, they're like, oh, we better start wrapping this stuff up. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least they didn't wait till the last episode of the season.
Yeah.
I guess it's just been an awful series, or not series, but season finale.
Oh, yeah, it would have been terrible.
But it feels like, it's like they want to do a two-part season finale, but they're like, well, we did a two-part season premiere, and we did a two-part season finale last year, and we don't want to be a serialized show yet, so let's address some of this stuff now. Let's get Pete out of the way. So we don't have to deal with him in the next episode. And let's, you know, I just, because you got, I mean, we'll talk it through here, obviously, as we always do, but you have the Alana going to Paris plot.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a that's a thread, I guess.
Yes.
And then you have the, and from that becomes Clark telling her his secret. And he's going to do it up to the very last scene when, you know, the Pete thing happens, right? So that's one, you know. Then we have the Emily Dinsmore returns. Mm-hmm. We have returning Freak of the Week, which is a big deal, played by a different actress because they had her age, and we talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the second plot. Third plot is Lex and Lionel's stuff, you know. But then Chloe gets kind of folded into that plot a little bit. And then we have, oh my God, we have more. Because we have Pete getting investigated by the FBI for Lionel, who's supposed to be working for Lex.
Yeah.
So that's a lot going on, and I think I would have liked this episode to be like, all right, Lionel and Lex things coming to a head, you pull in Chloe a little bit, and you deal with Pete, you know, leave or Pete being investigated by the FBI,
mm-hmm.
and then Lana should just be like the because Lana's going to be in the next episode, let's deal with her stuff then.
Yeah,
we leave out Emily Dinsmore entirely. Like, worked as a little kid, great. I mean, I really enjoyed that episode.
And it was its own episode here in this episode, and we'll touch on it later, but it was just like, it's over, and there's still, like, a lot of stuff to happen left in the episode.
So, yeah, we're like, oh, that's a lot of time left in the episode there. Yeah, but, yeah, it's like her only purpose is to, like, keep her from meeting Clark to have dinner and tell him the secret, but they could have just timed that out differently.
Mm-hmm. And had, like, different stuff happen.
Like, hey, I'll see you on Friday. And this Pete stuff happens on Thursday or something. Yeah. And then, like, the time comes and...
Agreed.
I don't know. I mean, who knows why they chose to do the things the way they did. But, I mean, they had two episodes left to deal with. And then, we get all the stuff we get in the next episode, which is completely unnecessary, in my opinion, with Supergirl. That's right, because Smallville had two Supergirls.
That's right.
#NeverForget.
There must be two in the CW.
Yeah. So, just like two Dr. Hamiltons, and it goes on and on. But it's just a very packed episode, and it started off very poorly, and it got good in, like, an amusing way, and then it had some, like, actually really good stuff in it, and then the ending kind of happened it legitimately feels like they splice together a bunch of scenes from a lot of different episodes, which they've been doing all the last third of the seasons I'm talking about, like all these deleted scenes here.
Yeah.
We can talk about... Actually, let's go ahead and let's talk about the deleted scenes now.
Okay.
I find it fascinating there's all these deleted scenes, but I also find out, like, does no one read and time out these scripts? Because we were getting, like... This was another, like, 3.5 minutes of deleted scenes. That's a lot of time in television.
Yes, it is.
And I don't know, like... I don't know if other scenes went longer or what they did here, but what we had was we had... First deleted scene is basically an intro... to when Mr. Dinsmore, you know, the janitor from Scrubs, mm-hmm. which is extremely distracting, by the way.
Yep.
I'm sure he
the
wanted...
dad on the middle.
Yeah, the dad on the middle. I'm glad he found more work after Scrubs. But it's just like, this is a sitcom dude just, I don't know.
Just hanging out on this show.
It's weird because I really like it when guys that do comedy like Robin Williams or something do serious stuff. I find that, like, but here it's just, I don't know. It just doesn't work for me. It's like, hey, it's a janitor.
It's distracting, for sure.
And you know, he's trying his best here, and he does good in what he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. He's not like being goofy or anything. He plays the part very well in both episodes he's in. But it's extremely distracting, because the Scrubs at the height of its popularity in 2000s. And here this dude is just hanging out on Smallville, like, working on the weekends, I guess, picking up an extra check.
Yeah.
So good on you, brother. But it's basically, it's a little bit of exposition recap. He's like, You cloned your daughter, and all this, like, as if you hadn't seen the last episode. So, you cut that totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's completely needless exposition because we continue. It's a scene between him and Lionel, right?
Yeah,
Mr. Dinsmore, and then we continue on to another scene between him and Lionel, continuing that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So that one can go, not a problem. You lose nothing by losing that one.
Yeah,
but then the next one is really weird because we watched the deleted scene before we watched the episode, and. It is, and it's actually a really good scene, and it sets up a lot for what's going on. And again, they should have fleshed this stuff out more.
Agreed.
So you have Lex and Loader. Finally, one of the guys' names. Mm-hmm. Should I say Loader? Looks like Al Bundy from Married with Children.
He does a little bit.
But anyway, He meets up with Lex in, you know, some warehouse or something, and he basically it takes place after Lionel had discovered Lex's was being wired and talking to the FBI. And then you have, you know, Loader's like, I think you and your father just playing this game. Unless you give me, you got 24 hours.
Yeah.
Like, of course, a cliche, right? So you got 24 hours to come with something concrete against your father, or I'm turning you back over to Metropolis PD. And then Lex drives off. And then Loader calls Lionel, and you see that Lionel had kind of inserted himself into the situation, bought off Loader here. And he's like, what about our other situation? And we see, like, a picture of a file on Clark Kent.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm working on it. And I don't know how much of this, like, I don't, because in the actual episode, it plays out very differently.
Yes.
We don't see that scene at all.
Yeah, no, it's not, yeah.
We see the scene where Lionel confronts Lex about the wire. Lex leaves. Then there's
this call.
Very awkward, like, ring, ring, ring. Obviously not supposed to have been there.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Loader having called Lionel out of context. And then we cut to Lionel, like, Lionel was like, I think it was his tie untied or something. Like, he would look very different from one scene to the next. And then he's in his desk chair with the headset on, all like buttoned up and stuff. And that scene's supposed to have taken immediately place after Lex just left. And that doesn't match at all.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And he's like, what of our next situation? He's like, yeah, I'm looking into the Ross kid. And then we see clips of what we had seen previously. So it was just, isn't that weird to see that?
It was a little weird. And then, like, and also, like, instead of, like, Loader had the file on Clark as opposed to Lionel.
Yeah, Lionel had it on his desk
in the deleted scene.
In the deleted scene, but in the actual episode, he, like, goes and opens it up. So I don't, it's like they mixed and matched. Like they said, it's almost as if they said, oh, you guys saw this in the episode. Let's re-edit this deleted scene in a way that would kind of make sense on its own. I think that's what they might have did. But it's just really weird because I'm like, okay, if you watch the episode as is, it's a little odd, the shift from Lionel from one shot to the next, frankly. But then when you watch the lead scene, it makes like, oh, yeah, they really should have left that in the way it was.
Yeah.
I don't know what they could have cut out. More creepy Emily stuff, I guess. But those are your deleted scenes. The last deleted scenes of the season. Apparently they got their act together by Covenant and figured out what to shoot.
Allegedly.
And what not to shoot. So yeah, those are your deleted scenes. So let's go ahead and jump into it. Forsaken.
This is Emily 11 months ago. This is Emily now.
She looks just like her mother.
Yeah, well, I bet her mother can't move through a brick wall.
She didn't go out the door, Mr. Dinsmore. She went through the door. You created her. How'd she do it?
That would mean her molecules are vibrating so fast they can be absorbed through matter.
Well, that's a little detail that my ex-project director failed to discover. Where do you think she's going, Mr. Dinsmore?
The last time she left, she went straight to her best childhood friend.
Yes, Lana Lang. And that meeting ended with Miss Lang near death at the bottom of a river.
You can't blame her for that.
Oh.
No matter what age Emily appears to be, her emotional development is that of a child.
Well, she's not a child. She's a failed experiment and a colossal liability. Mr. Dinsmore, it is imperative that I find her before anyone else. All right, I'm going to do one of two things. I'm going to either send out a team that will do whatever it takes to retrieve her, or I will send you her father.
Forsaken is the 21st episode of Smallville's third season. It aired on May 12th, 2004. It was written by Kelly Saunders and Brian Peterson and directed by Terrence O'Hara. So the episode starts out, and again, we got the Lexana stuff going on, and I am not a fan. What about you, Lance?
Nah, uh-uh. And it's like the powers that be are like setting up the tone for it. Like, it's like they're planting the seeds, like, right now, like, in front of us.
You might not
have
noticed it, but your brain did.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. It's just like, look, you guys, like, this is coming. That's kind of what it was telling me.
Yeah, because they are sitting, you know, Lex has these couches in front of his fireplace, and they're sitting on the same side.
Yep.
And he's giving her, like, a book on Paris and an open-ended tickets. She can leave whenever. And
it looked like
a fire.
It looked like an envelope of money, too.
Yeah, yeah. So she's like, I can't accept that. He's like, oh, well, it's a gift. You have to.
Yeah.
It's an open-ended ticket, which means she can leave whenever she wants, and all, which they make a
big deal out of,
I guess. So Clark comes in, and it's awkward.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, Talani's like, I didn't know you were here. I'm sorry to interrupt. And it's like, what? Like, yeah. And then it's interesting the way it even shot. I mean, I think Terrence Herr did a good job directing this episode. Mm-hmm. There's some cool angles, like, because Talani gets up to leave. Like, we see this really high high shot, like, downward shot of the whole room. And you see Lex sitting there, Alana walking by, and Clark watching walk by. I'm like, this is your triangle, guys, for the next four freaking years of this show.
Yep. Again, it's just like they're really being very obvious about it right now.
And Clark, why is he here?
I don't know.
I was waiting for some, like, oh, my family this or your father that. Nothing, right? The only purpose of the scene is for Lex to tell Clark to let her go, right?
Basically, yeah. Because, like, it doesn't seem like he's coming over to hang out like he had in the previous two seasons. Because I think they're past that. Right. But, yeah, it's just basically, you know, they have a little brief scene where Lex is telling him to let her go. And
yeah, let her go, Clark. Be honest with her. Or let her go.
And he's like, yeah, all Lana wants is for you to be honest with her. It's like, did she tell you that?
Yeah, who's like, you guys talking about? Like, even, like, what was it, I guess it was Crisis or Legacy. I don't know, the one where she was like, it's like Lex says, and he's like, Lex. Uh-huh. Obi-Wan was here. You know, that's what it feels like. Exactly. Episode 3, right?
Yeah.
He only wants the best for us, Anakin. So, so we have no reason for Clark to be here, and then we just cut to the next scene. Right?
Yeah.
And it's Emily Dinsmore, but she's a teenager now.
Yeah.
And she's in the Luther Corp facility now. Emily Dinsmore, played by nude actress Amber Rothwell.
Okay. Aubrey Plaza.
I was like, is this Aubrey Plaza? I looked it up. I mean, because she really is that Aubrey Plaza vibe, that kind of, like,
a little bit
blank expression kind of thing that Aubrey Plaza, like, capitalizes on so well.
Kind of like how Michael Cera does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I looked her up, and her most notable credits, at least to this audience, would be she was in Battlestar Galactica for just a couple episodes, I think. And she was also in White Noise, the 2005 Michael Keaton movie, which that was when Keaton was, like, in a kind of a drought of his career.
Yes.
So I bought that movie for $1.
Haven't watched it
from
yet.
From Half Price. No, I watched it, and it was not good at all. And also, you know who else in that movie? Sheriff Ethan. Michael Kosterman.
Well done.
So, well done. Anyway, don't waste your time with them. Thankfully, Michael Keaton is back, and I can now buy movies like Birdman.
Yeah.
Instead of White Noise. Then anyway, I think she does a really good job as the Emily here. She does a good job of, like, being, because this is a child's mind and, like, a teenage body and who hasn't been raised properly and has no moral compass, as they talk about in the previous episode, Accelerate. And speaking of that, you know, we mentioned this before with, like, the VHS tapes. You know, at some point I want somebody to do this. Like, you know, back in the day they had, like, VHS two packs or whatever, like two episodes and one tape that, like, fit together.
Yeah.
We talked about this before in the podcast, but, you know, we missed one last week. We should Skinwalker and Talisman.
Yeah.
That's a two pack right there. Here we have Accelerate and Forsaken. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make a list one day, and somebody out there, please make us some VHS tapes. I will legitimately put these episodes on those tapes.
Yeah.
And it would just be a fun kind of memento.
Double feature.
Double feature, yeah.
Small,
you have,
little double feature.
Because let's go down in here. We got time. Okay. We got X-Ray. Right, I'm thinking about, like, from season one to the next one, right?
Okay.
You'd have X-Ray and Visage.
Yeah. Right?
You would have there were more of these when I talked about it before. Stray and Ryan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You would have and then, of course, there's your two-parters, and, like, Shattered and Asylum and stuff like that. But those are the kind of things I'm talking about. Yeah. So I'll make a list one day. Okay. For whoever wants to make those for us. But anyway, you get what I'm saying, right? Well, that's the thing. It's like an undercover sequel episode because it's set up like this is a sequel to Accelerate, right? Mm-hmm. Because when Visage was like a sequel to X-Ray, it was like, here's Tina Greer, she's back, and she's in this whole episode, and she's the whole crux of it.
Yeah.
This, Emily Dinsmore, she's in this opening scene, and she's in about two-thirds of the episode, and then her plot's over.
Yeah.
And then we move on to other things.
Yeah.
So she's still under observation in that creepy room with, like, the bunnies and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. And, you know, it's just like bedtime. So the ex project director, as Lionel describes in the next scene, is great. He's like, all right, logging off at 12:15 or whatever.
Yeah.
He leaves.
Doesn't even monitor, like, after that. It's like, do they not have people monitoring while
he's sleeping? He logged off. Okay. He turned the lights off. All right. Maybe she'd been a good girl this whole time. But he leaves, and then she, like, waits a few minutes and then phases out of the room.
Yes.
Cause she, you know, her molecules were, you know, accelerated. Right, in her cloning process, so that's why she can move faster than a speeding bullet, right? Mm-hmm. And the previous one, and now she's evolved to the next level, unlocked her powers.
Kitty Pryde.
It's the Kitty Pryde or the Flash.
Yeah.
Level or vibrating through solid objects. And so she
got to say there's some really bad effects on that.
This is bad early 2000s special effects. Back when they thought computers can do anything. Yes. No, they really can't. I don't know why it looks so bad.
I don't know either, but it really does not look good.
So she escapes, and where does she go but to the Talon? But it's not the Talon anymore.
Yeah.
It's coming soon, Burrito Olé. Which, I don't know, I guess Smallville really needed a Mexican food place.
I guess so.
I mean, I love Mexican food. It's my favorite food.
Same.
But I couldn't help but laugh at that. And also, Burrito Olé. This is another counter for, and we got Corey Morris working on it. So we'll have an actual number for you by the end. Maybe the end of the season, maybe beginning of next season. But times the Talon almost closed.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few. We kind of went through it last week. This would be another one.
Yes.
Because it's not going to be the Talon anymore.
No.
And we see this contractor guy. He's kind of things are kind of like put away.
Yeah. Like you see like, you know, what a place looks like when it's like being built or like renovated.
And he has some blueprints out and that kind of
thing. There's like paint cans and stuff like that around.
And then Emily comes in and was like, this belongs to Lana.
No, she's like, it's perfect the way it is.
Yeah. And kills him. Pulls up her first flash on him. You've been dead for centuries.
Yeah.
And then kills him in the heart. What did you think of that?
It was pretty harsh. And then, what kind of got me, it took me out of the moment, was the music. Because it's very Imperial March-like. If you listen to it, it kind of starts off with that rhythm a little bit. And then
she's evil.
Yeah, and then it goes into something else.
And then we cut to the opening credits.
Yeah.
And we come back. And where do we come back to, Lance?
We come back to the farm. Clark and Pete are shooting some hoops.
As they do. You know, in their jeans and work boots. I know that it's, I don't know, wait, is this like May? It's not cold. I mean, it's cooler than it is in Houston and Kansas. But anyway, I always find it amusing these guys are playing basketball in their blue jeans and jackets and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how Pete's talking about how his mom's going to move to Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, she's got a federal judge position.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, I guess the divorce is really happening. And Pete's like, yeah. And of course, why didn't you tell me before? Because he hadn't told me, he just told Chloe. He's like, well, I figured when I told you, it'd be real. So that all kind of checks out.
And it's cool to see them, like, you know, being friends, because we haven't seen that in, seems like, forever, you know. Right. And
I got
like,
your back. Lex.
Don't. But yeah, like, because that's what, you know, what friends would do. Like you know, they talk about something serious, but like.
So normalcy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's missing. And that's what Smallville was great about. For all the crap we give it, right? there's no normalcy anymore on these CW shows. Everyone is a superhero.
Yes.
Everyone knows everyone's secret identity.
Everybody's
there's,
on a team.
There's everybody's like, even when it's like a levity, it's like something like, you know, it doesn't last very long.
Yes.
And I'll say this. So this is Sam Jones III's last episode as a regular. And they actually give him some stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he does a very good job in this episode, actually.
I agree.
And there's 1,000 stories about why. We'll talk to Craig Byrne next week. He might shed some more light on the situation.
Yeah.
But like, why did he leave? What was the deal with the show? This kind of thing. I equate it a lot. It's interesting because Star Trek Next Generation, famously, Denise Crosby left in the first season.
Yeah.
And her last episode, Skin of Evil, she has like a good like opening scene with like talking to Worf about like some martial arts competition. And like he's going to bet on her. She's like, oh, you're going to bet on me. It's a nice little moment. And then she said like, yeah, if they had more scenes like that for me, I wouldn't want him to leave.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I felt like. I'm like, oh, good. Pete's getting stuff to do.
Uh-huh.
It's his last damn episode, you know. But they make a point of like, he's not going to move with his mom. He's going to stay here with his dad because, oh, there's no way I'm going to miss senior year.
Yeah, I didn't go through 3 years of high school to miss senior year.
Yeah, well, the irony, right? It's almost, and then, of course, they knew Pete was leaving, right?
Yes.
So it's not the same. But it's almost like an Iron Man where Terrence Howard's like,
next time, baby. No. Nope.
Not for you.
Next time for Don Cheadle.
Oh, Hotel Rwanda. So why is Don Cheadle famous?
What is he
most known for, though? I'm just curious. What for
most known for?
I say Hotel Rwanda and Ocean's 11. That's what I know him best for.
Those are probably his most iconic
roles. And before Empire, what was Terrence Howard famous for?
Hustle and Flow. He's been in other
Crash.
Stuff too.
He was in Crash.
Oh God, that's what it is. It's Crash.
Anyway, enough about that.
Yeah.
But anyway, subject, of course, it always does quickly changes to Lana.
Of course.
And Clark's like, well, I wish Lana felt the same way. He's like, look, I'm going to tell you this once. And then it's like, none of my business zone. What did you think of this back and forth here?
I liked it and agree with it because, you know, only your best friend can kind of like call you out on stuff like that, especially like when it's about, you know, like the opposite sex. you and I have done that to each other. I definitely like the line. I like his line of, it's like, this whole yo-yo thing with you, Lana, it's got to stop.
It also, he's speaking for the audience.
He is. And it also echoes kind of what Lex said earlier in the episode too, because he kind of said something similar.
Yeah. And we'll get into it here as the more we talk, but yes, the episode is kind of a mishmash, although it was interesting. You have like a whole, like, people want things to change. People, I can see why they thought all this tied together, mm-hmm. like on paper, because it's like, oh, Lana's best friend doesn't want her to go and wants to keep her in a box. But, you know, Clark's best friend, Pete, might want to leave, but he wants to stay. And all, like, how do you deal with people leaving and changing and best friends and all that? So I get why they saw that, but it does not translate in the episode.
No.
You know, we're sitting here trying to analyze the show and I see it.
Yeah.
But sitting there just watching, like, well, what does this have to do with itself? Mm-hmm. So, knowing my secret, is that, like, hard, right? You know, something along those lines, because Pete's like, oh, wait, you're going to tell a lot of your secret? And he's like, might be the only way.
Yeah, might be the only way to stop her from getting on that plane.
So
I thought about, like, Casablanca at that point. It's like,
well, you know, so Pete is important here. He's like, oh, you know, it's tough, but, you know, it's all good. You know, basically, like, you know, as you
putting up a good
friends,
front. Yeah.
We find out later that is not the truth.
Yes.
So, then we cut to school, and Lana, we got to take a
her
screenshot
locker,
of this.
Yeah.
Because Lana's, like, in her locker, and it's open. And she's looking for, oh, wait a minute. This even, okay. All right, she's looking for her mom's bracelet.
Yes.
Which is, you know, that bracelet she always wears. It's like,
yeah.
They're like, crap, we used the necklace already. I swear, that's probably what they had. They had the necklace in the script, and someone was like, you know that's not a thing anymore, right? And they're like, damn it. So the implication here is maybe like
Emily came to school and took it, but that.
That never happens.
Yeah.
Because she can phase through a locker and
that's
take. I'm
right.
Like, oh, she's gonna be. Because I didn't honestly. Guess, I don't revisit this episode very much, you know. So I didn't really remember. I was like, oh, she's gonna be wearing her bracelet or something. What is that? Right. I mean, if we miss something, let us know. We literally just watched this episode. I don't recall any follow up to that. But I thought, oh, that's why they're setting up the bracelet.
There is no follow up to it.
Yeah. So
you're totally right. That's exactly like they wanted to use the necklace
but
and
we
they realized
used
that
already. Damn it.
Can't use it.
So. We see this open locker, and of course, when you see this kind of stuff, you got to pause and you got to look.
Yes.
And you see school portraits of Clark, Chloe, and Pete, you know, Lana's three friends.
Yes.
We see what I figured was the picture that Lana found of her mom and Henry Small.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, I guess we did see some reference to him, even though it was just the prop department. So good a job on his set design.
Yeah.
We saw a picture inside of like one of those pictures of Lana on a horse. We saw that like inside the locker,
mm-hmm.
and then just some other randoms. I couldn't really tell what else there was, but
yeah.
I'll take a screenshot and share it because these are always funny to me. Lana's like, I can't find my mom's necklace, and Clark's like, yeah. Well, anyway, do you want? Yeah, he's like,
no concern.
I know you're dealing with a lot of the move and all that, but you want to have dinner with me tonight? And she's like, I don't know, if that's a good idea, Clark. And he's like. Well, there's somebody I need to tell you that I should have told you a long time ago.
Yep.
And she's like...
She changed her tune real quick after that.
She's like, oh, okay.
See, Clark knows how to lure her in with it, like, by hint to get a secret.
Yeah, oh, I'm going to tell you stuff. Oh, no, I'm not, you know. Again, if I were Lana, I would never talk to Clark again after all this anyway. So they set up, they're going to have dinner
mm-hmm.
together that night.
Yes.
Right? And later on, they say she's not going to leave in 2 days. And she's going to leave on Saturday was the plan, right? So this must be Wednesday. Right? Because
must
the next
be.
Day, she doesn't show up, and she's not supposed to leave for 2 days.
Correct.
So I'm just like, what day is it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep this in mind.
Okay.
Lana's supposed to leave on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Today.
Which is 2 days away.
Today. No, 2 days a day tomorrow, because it's not the night yet, right?
There we go.
It's Wednesday.
Okay.
So if all this holds, I'll find out next week and I watch Covenant. The events of this episode in Covenant happen over the course of 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just keep that in mind, everyone. Because she goes to the airport with Lex on Saturday, I guess. Unless something... It's an open-ended ticket, Clark. That means she can leave whenever she wants. Whatever. So then we get to Lionel.
Yes.
The scene. And this is the second half of the deleted scene.
With him and the janitor.
With him and janitor. Mr. Again, he does a great... I got to give the guy due credit. What's his name here? Let me look it up here. I had it up. Neil Flynn.
Yeah.
Right? He does a good job.
He does.
He is a concerned father.
He's a good actor.
And he does a real good job in both these episodes.
Yes.
It's just, he's the goofy guy from Scrubs.
Yes.
It's like if like Michael Richards showed up.
Yes.
Like, it's Kramer.
Kramer!
You know? It's like, that's his function. So you don't... It's hard to divorce yourself from that,
mm-hmm.
especially watching these shows concurrently as they were on the air, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, they're like, this was Emily. you know, last year, and this is her today. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, she looks just like her mother because she's aged and stuff. And Lionel's like, basically tells him, look, I can send out a whole team of people to do whatever it takes to find her, or I can send you her father. And so Dinsmore's like, oh, well, last time she looked for her best friend, Lana Lang. It's probably where she'll go again. So
yeah.
That's a relief lap plot.
Yeah, and then...
But at this point, though, I'm into this plot. I'm like, oh, this is interesting.
Yes.
This is a follow-up to a freak week. I like when they bring these people back, and there's consequences to what happened last time. And I'm interested still. I'm still on board mm-hmm. with this plot at this point. So.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, after that, we cut back to Burrito Olay, but... Turns out, surprise, it looks still like the Talon when Chloe and Lana walk in.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, did it change? Yeah. But again, she has super speed, so yes. I can totally believe that she put it all back up together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that's when we meet Emma.
Emma, she introduced herself as Emma. I thought that was really, really clever.
That was good. I like that.
They're there to meet the contractor or something, but yeah. or the new owner or something, mm-hmm. whatever, right? But she says, oh, I'm his daughter.
Yep.
I should have checked if she was wearing a bracelet.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's going to bother me now. But she's really being really, like, over-the-top friendly with Lana. It's funny, yeah. Chloe has some great reactions.
Yeah,
to like,
yeah,
what's going on here, right?
Yeah, Chloe definitely thinks and knows that something's up or off about this mm-hmm. girl.
And she's like, oh, well, can you show me the ropes or something like that? And she's like, sure. And so Chloe leaves. Lana's going to stay.
With this new person that she just met. Yeah.
This fangirl. It's like... I almost want to say, like, watching this episode, it's like, are these, like, the Lana fans, right? These are the Lana fans, and they want to keep Lana in this box. And like, Lana, be my friend. You know, that's the people that worship Lana.
Well, also, the funny thing is, like, you know, if I were Lana, I'd want to go to Paris also and get out of this town where people treat me so weird. Like,
but it's because her face is on that Time magazine, Lance. You don't understand.
Yeah, it's true. But, yeah, it's just like, dang.
So we have some passage of time here. Because we have cut to the Kent farm.
Yeah.
And Clark has all these groceries, and Martha's like, oh, this means I'm out of making dinner tonight? He's like, nope. This means I'm going to cook dinner for Lana. I'm going to tell her my secret, and she's going to stay, and all this stuff, right?
Yeah, and she's just like, are you sure that's such a good idea?
It's like, hey, I asked Pete, and he's cool about knowing my secret.
You know? Yeah, and he's like, telling Pete has made us better friends. I'm no, like, wrong. Really? Has it, Clark? Has it?
But Martha is always about Team Clana, so she's like, all right, well, you know.
Yeah.
She's going to be more supportive than Jonathan. So at this point, I'm still like, again, you know, I focus on, I know way back earlier this season on Extinction, I was like, this was the point of no return for Clark and Lana's relationship. You should have told her in this episode, and then things might have been different for them and the show and whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? This was another one. This was, okay, last stop. Mm-hmm. You know, this was the last emergency stop for this, because he's building up to telling her.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, I would equate it to something like, you know, Clark proposing to Lois in the comic books or something, right?
Okay.
It's like, you can't stop this train. Like, you need to do it now, or you're never going to get a chance to do it.
Yeah.
Or she's never going to talk to you again. And it's probably, you know, if this is the real world after this episode, Lana would have never talked to Clark again.
If this is the real world, yeah. She wouldn't have talked to him again a long time.
Well, after Red.
Yes.
That's been established. So he's all excited about it. He's like, oh, man, if this works. She's like, well, is everything going to be all right? He's like, well, I hope so after tonight. You know, so it's a nice little parent. And I like how he has the moment here with Martha, and he has the moment later with Jonathan.
Yeah.
And I like that. But then we cut back to the Talon, and I guess it's like, Emma has been shown everything by Lana.
Yes.
Now. She's like, oh, well, I thought we could be friends. Maybe even best friends. Are you sure you want to leave? Oh, your whole life is here. And Lana's like, yeah, that's why I want to go. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, as much crap as we gave Lana for being the Paris School of the Arts. Like,
yes.
I do understand why. It's like, look, her life has been ridiculous, especially the last 3 years.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, her aunt left. Her boyfriend, her first love, died, whatever, got mm-hmm. replaced by her other old best friend who tried to turn into a boyfriend and wanted to love her or whatever. Clark, all this back and forth with him, all these other crazy boyfriends hanging around and being her freaks.
Her birth father, you know, is its own thing.
You can't even talk to her now because of the wife, you know.
Yeah.
Her favorite horse almost died, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, she gets trampled by a horse.
Another horse, yeah.
Arkham Adam Knight goes after
has
her.
Has a really weird relationship with some billionaire who lives in town.
Yeah.
It's really undefined. Yeah, that's right. Adam, I mean, like, lived in the Talon and tried to kill her. So it's been a crazy 3 years from Lana. I can understand, you know, wanting to turn the page and get a fresh start somewhere.
Yeah, clean slate.
Yeah, clean the ultimate duel. when does Emma make her turn here? Oh, she
goes upstairs. Oh,
you know, because when they first meet, right? She's like,
you look familiar.
Lana's like, you look familiar. Oh, everybody tells me that. Like, mm-hmm. I thought it's funny at this point. At this point, it gets amusing because you know what they don't know, and you're just waiting for her to reveal herself, right?
Yeah.
So Emma's like, oh, oh, we have been best friends. Let me show you. I'm like, yeah. Oh boy. Okay. So I was like, okay, great. And then she starts running. Thank God. Thank you. I'm glad she's smart.
Yes. She starts to get out. And then that's when she runs into Dinsmore.
Yeah. He's like, oh, is she here? And she's like, oh my God. Uh-huh. Like, this is actually a very well done
and well acted moment. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because like you can see Alana's face. She's like, revelation. Yeah. And she gets what's happening, what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. But you know, unfortunately,
Dinsmore gets her first flash in the back. This is what I talked about in Accelerate, back with Matt Latham, like when we talked about that episode. Yeah. Like, there's a similar scene where Little Emily like stabs him with like a rod, and I was like, oh, this is where he dies, but he doesn't die, right? He's still alive, and I was confusing it with this episode when she does stab him with her freaking hand, and to me, he's been dead for centuries, and then he collapses, and damn, that was such a great episode of The Flash, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
But season one of The Flash. Poor run out for The Flash after season one.
Yep.
So he's dead now. And she's like, you have to forgive me. He's like, again, the kid is, it works because she's a kid and doesn't understand right and wrong and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now she has killed her dad.
Yes.
She's killed the guy who was supposed to buy the talent, I guess. And then she kidnaps Lana, and Lana wakes up in this plastic
prison
inside of a barn in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then again, it's like there were a few scenes in this episode where like, is there supposed to be music here? Because this one is like, this scene was kind of creepy because he's like, hello, help!
Yeah, and you kind of can't hear, and that works.
That shows you it's like a soundproof cave.
Yeah,
I don't know how she built this, but
whatever. I don't know either.
And later on, there's another scene. I'm like, did they forget to put the music provided by Tonight Smallville brought to you? But we'll talk about that when we get there. Yeah. And where do we come back to?
Luther Corp. And that's when Lionel discovers that Lex has been wearing a wire this whole time.
Yeah, he calls Lex in, and he looks like fatigued. Maybe it's the disease getting to him. That's what I interpreted. Because they really don't mention that he's dying in this episode. Lex tries to figure it out. He's like, why are you wasting your time with all these obscure projects and all this risky stuff? Why would you risk it all, Dad? You know, you're losing your edge or whatever.
Yeah, but Lionel kind of like leads him on with this story about this employee that he wants to, you know, reward, but can't trust him and blah, blah, blah.
Right. And this is a very Luther scene.
Yeah.
And again, as they always do, the Luther scenes elevate the episode. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is a different plot.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different episode happening here with the Luthers. And Lionel, like, rips open the shirt and finds the wire.
He's
like,
wearing a wire!
He's wearing a wire! I don't know where that started, but that's become, like, a cliche in, like, everything.
Yeah, well, Family Guy.
Well, yeah, I think that's when people realize the cliche. Yes. Oh man. But yeah,
back when Family Guy was good.
Yeah, those first three seasons. So, but this is a big scene here because you know, Lionel is such a hypocrite though, because he's like, you keep these problems between ourselves and just to make you stronger. And Lex, like, you can't keep saying that about everything, every bad thing you do to me, Dad, you know.
Yeah.
But he's like, get out, you know. And so Lex leaves, and then we get their ADR phone ring.
Yeah.
And we get our deleted scene
spot.
That's reinserted awkwardly into this scene where Loader calls, and you're like, oh, okay. Lionel's, you know, in on it with this guy. And basically he says, like, he asks Loader, like, what's up? And he's like, don't worry. Like, whatever he finds, you know, no one's ever going to know about it or something. So like, oh, so things gotten more complicated for Lex. Again, I wish they would have, I don't know what they would have cut, but I wish they would have found a way to keep the scene as originally intended. It would have turned up the heat, because now the next we see of it is when Clark goes to talk to Lex. And Lex is like, oh, well, FBI told me, you know, 24 hours. Like, it's all, like, secondhand. It's not, we didn't actually see it. So, anyway.
Yeah. So, after that, we cut to the barn, and Lana's a no-show.
Yeah, Clark's waiting, and he's, like, dinner all prepared.
Yeah, he has candles and stuff, and his telescope nicely placed.
Yeah, exactly. And then Jonathan shows up, and I thought that was a really good scene between the two of them. What about you?
Yeah, I did, too. It's good when they have, like, when you see Jonathan giving him, you know, fatherly son advice, especially when you know that Jonathan doesn't exactly agree with what Clark's doing, but, like, respects him and trusts him to make the good decision, you know, which is, you know, what they've been raising him to do this entire time.
Yeah, and because he's like, there's no way I can talk you out of this, song. Clark's like, well, no. But he's like, oh, but he respects his decision, and he's going to let him tell Lana. Like, that's not if you could stop him. But,
yeah.
But they agree to disagree about it, and that's a good you know, turning point for them, you know, Jonathan says something about letting go, and he's like, I'm never going to let go of Lana. He's like, well, I'm talking about myself, and he's like, I'm like, oh, that's good. You know, this is a good mature scene between the two of them.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, the two of them, like, it's like their relationship now is like reached a new level, a new place.
Mm-hmm. So then we go, what was it, the next day at the Talon or something, or what's up?
Yeah, Clark is looking for Lana because, you know, she no-showed.
Operating as normal,
which is
weird.
Yeah, which he didn't seem like phased by, it seemed.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I don't understand. Did Emily take the guy's money? like how are they running the Talon?
Well, yeah, because she even says, she's like, oh, the first cup of coffee is free. It's just like, so how many
it's
people?
All, it's
yeah,
all free.
Everybody's just having a free cup of coffee at the Talon.
Yeah, the logistics, the business logistics, that's very confusing.
Yes,
but it's funny because she sees Clark and she, of course, recognizes
him. Yeah, and then she has to, like,
she's like, oh, it puts on her fake face. So this is interesting. I guess I'm still on board with this at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, you know, I mean, not talking about it again. This is a good episode in and of itself if they would have done it right.
Yeah,
but they just shoved it in all this other stuff going on, and it does everything. It does itself a disservice and everything else around it. They're trying to shove in this returning freak of the week story.
Yeah,
with. Like, I want to know more about Pete stuff. I want to know more about the Lionel stuff. You mm-hmm. know, that's what we need to focus on. Not like this goofy freak of the week coming back.
Yeah, and it's here where it's revealed that, you know, Lana was not supposed to leave for 2 more days.
Yeah, yeah, because she's like, she didn't tell you. Yeah, she said she didn't like goodbyes and she left or something. Yeah. So then, of course, Clark goes to talk to Lex about it, and he's all mad. I was like, "Why didn't you tell me?" Ah!
Yeah.
And he's like, "It's an open-ended ticket, Clark. Means she can leave whenever she wants."
Yeah.
and Lex tells Clark what he's dealing with his dad and all this stuff.
They have a little bit of banter, also.
Yeah, about, like, you know, hiding your tracks. Or something. Like, you wouldn't know anything about that or something. Mm-hmm. Talking about his father. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and he has all these. I guess he's looking through his stuff because he has all these Luther Corp things.
Looking for these files.
Looking for something online, right? But Lex realizes, like, oh, what do you mean? Lionel left already? And Clark's like, oh, she didn't tell you either. And he's like, what's going on here? Because she wasn't supposed to leave for 2 more days, which means it's Saturday, which means it's technically Thursday. So A work day.
We cut back to the little where Lana's been kidnapped.
That's right.
Trying to convince Emily to, like, kind of let her go.
Emily's trying to play house, like, oh, I got TV dinners along with a brownie.
Yeah. It's just like, wow, this is really creepy. Uh-huh. And the line in there that kind of, like, really, like, like, shows, like, her mindset about things. And she's like, and one day, if you're good, we can run the Talon together. Yes. She's like, whoa.
Well, she's like, look, Emily, I know you're very alone where you were.
Yeah.
But you just can't keep someone in a cage. And she's like, well, you'll get used to it. I did. I was like, oh,
yeah,
man, that's dark. So again, there's some good stuff here.
There is.
But I just...
And especially, like, their little talk about friendship and, like, you know...
What's a friend?
Yeah, and like, what a
friend is jumping in and saving him. Like, oh, it's all true. Yeah. It's good continuity there, right?
It is. It's pretty impressive.
Because, again, the show actually doesn't... This episode doesn't come out and tell you this, but if you remember from Accelerate, Emily, like, died trying to save Lana and when they were, like, 8 years old in the river. So that's why she's still saying, you don't tell me what a friend is. Mm-hmm. So... Again, no bracelet though.
And then
that's gonna bother me the rest of the episode.
Yeah, and then Lana's like, "Well, people are gonna come after me," and she's like, "No, they're not."
I think you already went to Paris. And then Kristen Kreuk has some great acting this episode because all these revelations. She's like, "Oh no, she's right. I think I left." So then Clark goes to confront Emily, about this behind the talent. By the way, there are all these weird posters.
Yes.
We're gonna take a screenshot of this and post it of like. Well, there was like a barn raisin dance or something, a hoedown or something.
Yeah.
There was a jazz poster. But then my favorite, there was a
Stedman
charity concert, which was from, I believe it was Ryan. Right?
Yeah.
See me run, see me climb.
Yep.
So, good.
Finally here now. No, that was when he got Pete gave him the first Talon mix.
Then who was in Stedman? Wait, then who was in Ryan then? Oh. Turn me inside.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Breaking all these promises.
Yeah, yeah. Stedman's in the episode where Chloe has the letter.
Yeah, that's right. Who was the man in Ryan then? With the. I'm trying to think now. But they're both. I'm pretty sure both these songs are on the Talon mix. I think that's where I was mistaken. So, oh man, the charity. All right. It's just so weird. You never see posters and stuff.
You don't, but like there's like an overabundance of them.
Yeah, it drew attention to itself, right? So Clark confronts her. I had some friends pull some strings. She never got on that plane. And I like what she says. She's like, you were nice to me when I was a kid. You said we were the same. You understood it's like we'd be different. And I was like, that's good.
Yep.
Because that was a great scene between them in the last episode.
It was.
And then she super speeds off through wall.
Yep.
because she's the Flash now. And Clark can't do that. So we got to when does Lionel show up at the Torch? Does this happen yet?
Yeah, it happens next.
So he's like, Sullivan, and of course Chloe doing the Torch at freaking like 10 o'clock at night. Right?
Yeah, maybe it's 10 o'clock at night. Who knows?
Who knows when it is or whatever.
Maybe it's daylight saving time.
And she's like, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the hallway. She's like, all right, enough of the sarcasm. I like it because I'm like, good. Even I'm sick of this at this point. And he basically tells her that, look, it's a very dangerous girl. Her father went after her. He's missing now, too. She's in Smallville. She's friends with Lana Lang. If you see her, I expect a phone call or something.
He's like, yeah, if she's in Smallville, I'm sure pretty sure you'll hear about it.
And then when Clark goes to, and of course she's still at the frickin' Torch, like, you know, the next time he sees her, and she's like, oh, and Clark's like, oh, that's Emily Dinsmore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he knows what's up because he's put the pieces together of everything. And, they look up where, Lana would, or not, where Emily would be. And he uses the power of the internet. He's like, well, she's like, did you see them a lot when they were kids? He's like, no, they usually went to Emily's house.
Yeah, he just kind of says it so casually, nonchalantly. He was
spying on this freaking telescope.
Yeah.
But in between all this, we get another scene with Lana and Emily. She's just kind of standing there, and they're like having a fake tea party.
Yeah.
She's like, Lana, your tea's going to get cold. I'm like, oh, is there actually tea? No, just imaginary tea. And you can see, again, Kristen Kirk does a really good job in this episode.
Yes.
You know, I give Lana crap a lot, so I want to give Kristen Kirk credit when I can. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she's like, would you like some more tea, Emily? She's playing up the whole, like, I'm talking to a child, and I'm going to, and she's like, yes, please. And then she smashes the freaking kettle on her, teapot on her, and then runs out the cage and is running through this barn, and then finds the two dead bodies.
The dead bodies, like, wrapped.
Wrapped in, like, cellophane or something. Like, whoa, that was dark, you know? And,
But then Emily catches up
to her. She's like, you're not my friend anymore. Think about evil kids. And then while this is going, again, this is why it's hard to like talk through this because there's these random scenes are inserted at random times.
Yeah.
Throughout all this, we get a scene with Pete driving down the road.
Yep.
Getting pulled over by a cop. What are your thoughts on this, Lance? When we watched it, I was like, ooh, I forgot this was a part of this episode. So what'd
and
you
I was
think?
Like, yeah, here we go.
This is just day in the life, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, because you see just a black man minding his own business, driving down the road.
Yep.
Cop pulls him over.
He literally gets a DWB.
Well, I mean, much like the episode with Stedman.
Yes.
It doesn't match the description.
Which is the most... like fictional thing I've ever seen in fiction.
When the cops are like, this black man is not who we're looking for.
He doesn't fit the description.
Oh man, that's good stuff. But anyway, back in Fever.
Now granted, he does flash that FBI badge and I am on record, like, you know, in my real life saying like, you don't mess with the feds. So like, you know, he gets out of the car. He's like, yeah, we have, you know, some, you know, routine check.
He's been real nice to him now.
Yes. It's never a routine check, by the way.
Right. Never a routine check. No, but he goes off with a loader. You know, and then we can pause on this plot.
Yes.
Right? And then we get the resolution with, again, this is like, you know, time code, these episodes are like 42 minutes, right? Yeah. Time code 30 minutes, Emily plot is over.
Yeah.
Right? Because Clark super speeds, he finds out like where the Dinsmore property used to be, speeds over to there, sees that Emily is going to like pump some poison.
Well, yeah, she pumps the room full of gas after tying Lana up on the bed, and is gonna burn it.
Right, and it's a this is a knockout to Clark secret.
Yes, it is,
because Lana passes out from this poison. Clark super speeds in,
breaks the glass.
Yeah,
gets her to safety,
saves her, like lays her down on some hay. She does wake up, which is like, oh, Clark, just to know that he saved her, I guess. Yep. And then Emily starts speeding away, and then he speeds after her, and then he uses his small was sort of doing these heat vision pulses, which is interesting. He uses them on this water tower to kind of like slow her down.
Yeah.
And we see like, I don't know if this is supposed to be like a follow up to the whole, like, you know, running in the raindrops thing.
I think it is.
Not as cool. I mean, because you see her trying to run through the water and that slows her down. That makes sense. Cause of, you know, physics and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, this knocks her over and then I guess she's passed out by this.
Yeah.
So Clark checks her out. And she's fine. The lawn is fine. And then we get Pete again.
Yeah.
And we just see, like, Loader, like, starting to beat the crap out of him on this dock, you know, where Lex and him had met up before in the deleted scene.
Yeah.
And this is good, you know, because he's beating up on Pete. And he's like, I'm not going to tell you anything, you know. And then he's, like, really, I think he's going to unleash on him, like, on another level at this point. And then Lex shows up. And Pete's like, oh crap, like Lex is behind it. People first thing is Lex is behind it, right?
Yeah, and then, but then like Lex is, you know, clears the air that like, you know,
he's like, you got this guy on me. He's like, no, but I think my father
did. Yes, he got, my father did. And then, and that's when like, you know, Loader like kind of like forgets Pete to go like talk with Lex, and like Lex gives him the, you know, the
another scene we forgot about.
Ah, yeah.
Which was, and in the scene where they were investigating the Dinsmores, Clark mentions to Chloe that, oh, well, Lionel wants to find her.
That's
because
right.
He wants to find her before Lex does. And,
yeah.
And Chloe's like, what's going on with Lex? Yeah. And he's like, well, the feds are going to like get on Lex if he doesn't give them some evidence. And
that's
and,
right.
And Chloe's like, well, why didn't you tell me?
Because Chloe shows up at the mansion and kind of recaps all of the plot.
That's the thing. That's what we're talking about. We're like, they seem to be like just checking off the like season three plot threads here, right?
Yeah, she like recapping the whole like, well, yeah, we found out that Lionel, you know, killed his parents.
Morgan
Edge
videotaped him, and then he electrocuted Ryan. Well, yeah. Like walking us through the plot.
Yeah, the entire season three plot threads. And so that's kind of what sort of happens again with Lex giving, you know, load of the evidence that he has.
Well, because she mentions that, like, well, I had it on a, she mentions to Lex that, like I had this on a voicemail. Well, because she's like, well, we have no evidence now because it got destroyed, right?
Yeah.
He's like, well, you don't have anything. He's like, no, I got your father's confession from Truth, right, mm-hmm. on a voicemail. And that, you know, that stuff exists out there forever. So the right people with the right money and the right connections can make it happen, right? So obviously Lex pulled some strings, got the transcript, and I assume the actual, you know, voicemail from the phone company. And then he presents that to Loader, you know, and Loader's like, making a mistake, Lex, you know, this kid, he's on something a lot bigger than you or your dad, you know, aren't you Pete, you know, and then he walks off. This is like, and this scene here between Lex and Pete, they have like five scenes together, this entire show.
Yeah.
But this is a great scene, isn't it?
It is a great scene. Like, you know, Lex is like, he's like, I can see why Clark, you know, confided in you and not me. You're a good friend, Pete.
That says a lot without saying much.
Yeah. You know?
Because Lex, at this point, they both know something's going on with Clark and Lex, you know?
Yeah.
All these like, passive-aggressive scenes they have together. But Lex is still cool about it.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like, well, I mean, I'm kind of a messed-up guy, so I'm glad you trusted this guy instead of me, basically. So it's like a unspoken respect.
Yeah, and then Pete's just like, well, I guess, like, thanks for that. It's like, I guess I owe you one.
And Lex is like, well, I'm sure you'd repay the favor down one day or something.
Vice President Pete.
Yeah, that's what this is. This is not a reference to that,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. 100%.
So explain Vice President Pete.
So in the comics, when Lex become like, so in DC, and after the when Bush got elected, it was around that same time, DC Comics did a thing where Lex Luthor becomes the president, and Lex becomes president, and then his vice president is Pete Ross, which I was like, huh, interesting. That's an interesting interesting career path for Pete, because at that point the only real knowledge I had of Pete was that A, he was Clark's best friend from Smallville, and then that was basically it. Like in any iteration,
he was married to Lana Lang,
and that too. Yeah, that's it. So I was like, huh, that's interesting. But that's kind of what I took from this.
Yeah, and it's like, ooh, this is. I mean, why would they set something up like that when the new Pete was leaving?
I don't know.
Like just for that far down the road future that we're never going to see. Let's leave some vague hints.
Yeah.
But this little moment, this was great. You know, this is what I'm saying. This episode has some great moments, but it's so just confusing. You know, I mean, we were trying to talk through it, and we're forgetting scenes left and right. Because they're just like,
well, because the episode is that way, like it's very disjointed, like things are not like.
It didn't take you like on a nice like emotional arc, for an episode. It was like, that, you know, it's just schizophrenic, I guess would be the best way to describe it. So, Lex saves Pete here,
yeah,
and then we get immediately after the scene,
mm-hmm.
we have Pete go see Clark,
yes,
and there should have been some space in between these scenes.
I agree.
Because
this should have been the last.
There are too many scenes that should have been the last like four scenes in this episode could have been the last scene. Right?
That's true.
But again, this whole setup with like Emily Dinsmore and all this stuff over now.
Yeah,
we don't see any kind of follow up with her. All we get is some lines from like Lex and Island later that she got escaped from Bel Rev. Like an hour after she showed up there.
Yeah,
and then like I'm glad they never brought her back because what would she have done at this point?
I don't know.
But she's kind of a tragic figure. Like what happened to this girl?
Yeah,
you know, some failed Luther Corp experiment. Killed her dad,
yeah,
you know. I mean,
with the mind of a child.
Now she's running around out there. I mean, I don't know. Maybe in the Smallville. No, actually, no. Smallville comics never talk about her.
So.
But anyway, that's just a sad, tragic story here.
Yes.
But anyway, in scene number one, right? This is why we're here, right? Because this is the scene we want to talk about. So this is like, Pete's kind of beat up, and Clark's like, oh my god, what happened to you? He's like, the FBI, the feds, you know, were getting on, you know, the Luthers, and I got caught up in it, you know, and they're on to you and all this stuff, and I just wanted to tell you that Lex knows. Lex was there. Lex knows.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, like, as in, like, Lex knows something. Like,
yeah. Like, I don't know how much or what, but.
But he knows something. He knows, so I'm here to warn you. Mm-hmm. You know, keep, you know, watch your back.
And then he starts to leave. He's like, why Clark's stupid, right? He's like, why are you talking that way? He's like, I'm moving to Wichita with my mom. He's like, I know I told you earlier that keeping your secret was easy. I lied. It's not. Every day I worry about, you know, slipping up, you know, and Clark's like, well, I'll protect you. He's like, Clark, you can't be there all the time, man. Yeah. You know? So
yeah, because Clark's like, I should have been there. He's like, that's the thing. He's like, you can't be there all the time.
And this, you know, honestly, all this reasoning works out. I just wish they would have saved it for, like, the end of season four. Like, could we have gotten one more year with Pete, right?
I agree. Because, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I think we're doing the, like, you're kind of doing Clark a disservice when, like, you know, like, his best friend is established best friend at this point is, like, no longer a part of the show. Because he and Chloe, like, in season four, like his friend's circle is Chloe.
And Chloe's cousin.
Like.
No, I mean, guy. Yeah, Jason Teague is not his friend.
Yeah.
Right, he's his coach. Yeah, he's dating his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, and none of his, he's not friends with his teammates.
Yeah. Anyway, well, season four, around the corner. Yeah. Talk about soon. So, in The Companion, Al Goff said this about, you know, Pete's departure in the episode. He says, it wasn't meant to feel like a footnote, but it does a bit. Pete deserved a better send-off. We think that Sam's a terrific actor, but we felt that the character had played its course. We decided it was time. We didn't want to kill Pete, obviously, so he's out there and available to guest star or be available for a plot line. Now, a couple points here. He was actually supposed to be in Jinx. He was going to be on the opposing team, and he was going to have a problem with Clark using his powers playing football,
which I 100% agree.
Would have been a great
thing. That would have been amazing.
Way, why did Pete never play football?
I don't know.
Because he wasn't even on the team when they're freshmen, not being a scarecrow. I don't know why he wasn't in that one. Also, he's supposed to be in Spirit. This will be Chloe's date to the prom.
Yeah.
That is why the Kents are chaperones, because we had to have someone there who knew Kryptonite. Like, he was supposed to be the Jonathan role.
Yeah.
So Jonathan's just walking around the hallways, and that's supposed to be Pete.
Okay.
And of course, we all knew we needed to come back in Hero, but we're not going to talk about that. So, anyway.
He should have been at their wedding.
Well, actor was unavailable at that time.
Well, not. Well, I know, but you know what I mean.
Right. Well, they could have done, like, later, spoilers, Hawkman's funeral. Had some body doubles and whatnot.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, well, I'm sure if we've reached him, there's a black guy in there somewhere, right?
Maybe.
We were just talking about the lack of representation, so maybe not. But Franklin Stern, the guy who's the editor of the Daily Planet or buys it or something in like season 9.
Okay.
He's African American.
All right, so we got 6.
Mm-hmm. Plastique looks like, I think she's half black.
Yeah, because her father's Flash.
Because her Flash. Okay. Candace Patton is her mom, and Greg Gustin is her dad. Man. Anyway.
Yeah.
So this is like an emotional moment here between Clark and Pete.
It is.
Yeah. So this is like, see Ron Clark and they like hug. And
yeah.
Like, it's a moment. So we had a moment like this a couple years ago, didn't we, Lance?
We did.
Tell us about this.
So like I moved to Philadelphia for graduate school. And we had a very tumultuous drive from Houston to Philly. Zach helped me move. We had a similar moment like this when I dropped him off at the airport for him to go back to Houston.
I was like, this is sad, man. It's like I got choked up, man. So, because we're best friends, you know.
Indeed.
And that's what this episode's about. It's about best friends and not wanting things to change and whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to accept change, because some days your best friend's gonna move into a new city, you got to move on with life, and things are never going to be the same, right?
Yes.
But here are 2 years later, and you're back. Yep. So it's all good. It's like Smallville. Nothing changes. Always alone in Smallville. So here we are. But yeah, see you around, Clark. You know, that was like, oh, you know?
That was
a moment. And that was a good scene.
It really was.
You know, I know they're talking about, like, oh, Sam's a good... And they're talking him up because he's leaving, and they're trying to, you know, all professional. And everybody was all professional around about him leaving the show. But I really do feel like Sam Jones did a great job in this episode.
I agree. And then, so does Welling in that scene, because, like, he's stunned, and, like, he doesn't even know what to say or do. Like, it's just, like, and he can't stop it either. That's the other thing.
Right.
It's like,
well, that's the thing. Things that are out of Superman's control, like, that's what these young Superman episodes and shows and stories should be about. Like, even though he's Superman, he can do all these things. Like, he can't do everything.
Yes.
And that's a hard thing to cope with when you can do so much, but there's some things he just can't control.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So he's like, see you around, Clark. And he drives off in his nice convertible, which I'm glad he still got to keep that.
Yes.
And then immediately after this scene, like, immediately, I'm like, man, Clark's bad day gets worse.
Yes.
Because Lana shows up. And she's like, oh, hey, I'm sorry I missed dinner. And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry you did too. Mm-hmm. Because she sees the whole setup there had. She's like, so you were gonna tell me something. And he's like, yeah. And then he like gets real close to her, kisses her on the cheek, and he's like,
yeah.
Have a great time in Paris. I hope you find what you're looking for. And she's like, and this is a great job by Kristen Craig, because you see like all the emotions are going through her head right now, like on her face, and she's like, are you serious? Like this is what. And but then she's like, she's heartbroken, she's mad, she's sad. Yes. Like this, you see it all, and it's without talking, and it's really well done, I think.
Yeah.
And then she leaves, and this is the scene. And you see Clark's like looking overly happy, and then you see as she walks off, he like kind of melts a little bit.
Because he's putting on a face also.
So then this is our, again, should have been in the last scene, much like the last scene. Mm-hmm. You get like a zoom out of the town, the barn, whatever, right? And you're like, is there music?
Yeah, there's no music. It's
and
really
music from Night Smallville brought to you by, like, there's nothing here. Like, were they going to, like, ran out of budget and they forgot?
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's really like, there's not even, when we say there's no music, there's nothing. We're expecting some kind of pop song, but there's not even like an instrumental thing by Mark Snow. No, like it's like
there isn't.
That's what it's like right there. So that's, you know, could have been honestly the last scene with Clark and Lana for a while.
Yeah,
we put her on the shelf for a while, right? Let her be the actually leave, you know. And then we have another last scene with Lionel and Lex. But again, and so these moments here are like. They're good. This episode is less than the sum of his parts, I would say. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, we're talking about how things don't fit, but these individual things in and of themselves are really good. But I just don't... The connective tissue isn't there. It might have been on the page somewhere, but it's not in translation. Yeah. So then we get, you know, the culmination of all this whole season's, like, you know, Luther games being played. Mm-hmm. And Lex comes in, and we hear some opera. Lionel is playing on this really awesome CD player Lionel has, by the
way. And he's playing... an aria from La Fille de Regiment, which translates to the Daughter of the Regiment, Italian opera by Donizetti.
Well, there it is.
Yeah.
And Lex comes in, and Lionel's like, forgive them for they know not what they do. Or, is that what you're here for, Lex? Forgiveness? He's like, no. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm not here for that. So he mentions that that he got sloppy. You know,
yes.
And Lionel starts telling him the devil is in the details, mm-hmm. and all this stuff.
Yeah, he's like starts boasting about stuff, and then Lex is like, "Well, good thing I'm a quick learner."
Yeah, and then the FBI comes in, and Lionel's like, "Well, loader, what are you doing here?" Like his whole like demeanor shit, because Lionel thinks he's got the upper hand on Lex.
Oh yeah,
at some point, but then he doesn't,
because up until this point he's always had the upper hand on him.
Right. So he's like, Lionel Luther, you're under the arrest, and he's like, under what charge? And he's like, the murders of. Lachlan and I forgot
the other person.
Yeah, his grandmother's, Lex's grandma's name.
Yeah.
But it's the first time we hear it, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe the last time we hear it. But he gets arrested, and then Lionel kind of stops in front of him. He's like, be careful, son. Remember, Judas was hung by his own rope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, did you just compare yourself to Jesus?
Yes, he
like,
did.
What, like, why do the worst people in the world do this? Like they're like, yes, I'm persecuted as well.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's not why you're being persecuted right now. You killed someone. Take him to the police.
He murdered someone.
So Lionel gets taken away. And we hear this opera music, which is very appropriate for this scene. And then it is on that. And I'm like, either of these last three scenes,
mm-hmm.
you know, can we just like, just take Talisman out. Make another episode about one of these things.
Yeah.
Right? Spread these five plots over out two episodes. And then you're good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, this is what the season really is. Winding down here, they're getting the Chloe stuff, like exposition getting up.
Oh yeah.
Well, Morgan Edge, blah 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 blah, and you're like, oh, Morgan Edge, he's dead. He's never coming back. And even at the time, people were like, is Morgan Edge really dead? And I'm like, yeah, I think so. He got shot a few times in the chest, and
mm-hmm.
but then it's so like, God, you recast him just for that one episode.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Patrick Bergen, you and I haven't talked about it, but I think Patrick Bergen did a good job of like being Morgan Edge, I look at that and I believe that. Like, this guy had plastic surgery and became this guy. Like, rarely do you think that. But I think that Smallville actually did it very well, and it made perfect sense in this plot. And this is what I'm saying. Like, we've talked about this before. Like, this is the first season where they kind of plotted something out, and they had an A to B and an arc and all that, and they're actually, like, sticking the landing here, despite some questionable choices with some plots in this episode. But season four, everything, like, screwed up behind the scenes, you know, because they had, you know, Chris Reeve passed away, and then Margaret Kidder didn't want to come back, and you know, and then they had, they they originally, I think, were going to stretch out that plot to two seasons and became the one, and then like, Superman Returns was coming, so season five, so like, and then you're getting to like six and seven, and people's contracts are up, and characters leaving, so I really feel like this, like, season three is like the one season they actually, like, when they plotted, because one and two, they were just kind of episodic.
Yeah, they're getting their fit.
They had themes of the season, they didn't have like an arc for the season, so like a one complete story arc, start to finish, like, three did it, and nine did
it. Yeah, three and nine.
But other than that, I mean, those are two of my favorite seasons right there. Other than that, I think everything was... You know, we had to deal with, like, well, Lex is gone. Now do we? Let's look for Lex. And hopefully we'll get Rosalind back. Oh, he doesn't want to come back. Let's get Doomsday in here. Is this the end of the show? I don't know. Is Tom Welling going to sign that contract? So it was just a lot of things. And anyway, as much crap as we're getting this episode, at least they are putting things in place for the end of the season and not trying to rush everything. Although, again, they could have dropped Talisman and expanded some of these plots instead of that episode.
Oh, my God, Talisman.
Hey, Pete. What happened to you?
FBI agent decided to go off payroll. Want to know about you. Don't worry, I didn't tell him anything.
I should have been there.
That's just it. You can't always be there. I gotta look out for myself. I just thought you should know they were onto you.
Thanks for the warning.
Clark, the FBI isn't who I'm really warning you about. Lex was there. He's the one who pulled the Fed off me.
He's investigating his father, not me.
That doesn't matter. He knows. Now, I'm not exactly sure how much, but he's not going to stop until he's got everything. Clark, you got to keep an eye on him. Look out for yourself.
Pete, why are you talking like that?
I'm moving to Wichita with my mom.
I thought that... What about senior year? But you can't do this because of me.
I know that I told you keeping your secret wasn't hard. But I lied. I walk around every day afraid that I'm gonna slip up.
Why didn't you tell me sooner?
Because you needed a friend. And so did I.
You don't have to move away. You don't have to change your whole life. There's gotta be a way. No one even has to know we're friends.
There's a lot of things that I can handle. But I could never live with myself if I betrayed you.
Pete.
I'll see you around, Clark.
Forsaken got an 8.3 out of 10 on IMDb, and New Billy from the Superman homepage gave it a 1 out of 5.
Oh, wow.
So this is what he had to say. I want to just add his last quote on here to give some context of his score. He said, I have to admit, the scene with Lionel's comeuppance and the scene with Lex and Clark going back and forth, they were worthwhile. And there is a resolution here with Lionel, but in no possible way can these simple things combat the astonishing horror that was the inconsistent, infantile, motivated, continually sprinting, all-around failure of an episode called Forsaken. Al, why have you forsaken me? Why with this horrible episode? Ooh. And with that, he expired. 1 of 5. That is the end of Neil Bailey's review. So he was pretty harsh on it. Lance, on the letter grade scale, what would you give Forsaken?
I was going back and forth between like B minus, C plus. I'm going to probably stick with the C plus. Because it's just like the episode's so disjointed. You know, there's good stuff in it, but like it... You know, the Emily stuff doesn't last the whole episode because, like, if you think back to, like, season one or two, that, like, the whole Emily thing...
That would have been the episode.
That would have been an entire episode. But here, it's two-thirds of it, and we get all this other extra stuff. And it's just like, I wish we could have had more of the extra stuff and less of the Emily stuff, and the Emily stuff could have been its own thing. Mm-hmm. Or we could have the Emily stuff and then just have the other extra stuff that's in this episode to be an episode. Mm-hmm. So...
Or just structure it differently.
Yeah, I think the Pete stuff should have gotten more of a do.
I mean, they made themselves like, Pete probably should have gotten... I'm like, what? Yeah. You wrote the damn thing? Like, you were in complete control. Like, just, I don't know.
Agreed. So for all of that, like, I'll give it a C+.
Yeah, I'm going to go C plus as well. I mean, we gave Talisman a C last week, and this is better than Talisman.
Yes.
Because it had some great moments. But again, less than the sum of its parts, I think, is the best way to describe this episode. Because you have some great moments, but they don't... None of this stuff fits together in the same episode. And I don't know, it's the end of the season, right? They can kind of burned out. Maybe they rush for time. I get it. It's a grind with, episodic TV and, you know, broadcast TV.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just, there were some good ideas here that were well executed, but the connections were not. And they could have, I don't know, they could have just restructured things in this episode and turned to another one, like just like you said, like pick one, flesh that out,
yeah.
Save everything else for something else. And there you have it. So yeah, C plus for you, C plus for me.
Cool.
Let's go to the tally board. We haven't got the numbers on this yet because Corey Moore is still working on it behind the scenes in our Smallville statistic lab. But we have a plus one for the talent almost closes because it almost turns into that L.
Burrito Ole.
Burrito Ole. It's like, I get they film in Canada and it's supposed to take place in Kansas, but somebody did a little research on what a Mexican restaurant might actually be called. Taco Arriba. You know? Might as well have called it that. So, we'll get the numbers on that later. But we do have a plus one for knockouts to keep Clark's secret because Lana passes out for a while when she gets poisoned, and that why she doesn't see him like super speed through the cage
glass,
and save her and stuff. Clark, how did you know where to find me? And nobody asked him that.
And also nobody really. We don't know how Emily knows that Lana's leaving.
You're right. Thank you for bringing that up because I think Chloe asked Clark like, well. Why, if she could escape at any time, why should she do it now? And of course, well, maybe she'd find out that Lana was leaving and, you know, and just be last chance to your best friend. What would you do to keep your best friend around forever? I'm like, all right, this is what we're doing here with this episode, best friends and stuff. But
Who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, I mean, Lana is the, you know, the topic of conversation around this place. So maybe like, you know, she heard the guards talking about it. It's like, hey, did you hear that chick that runs the Talon's leaving, man? It's changing to something else.
Maybe if you're good, one day we can run the Talon together. Well, that was the thing about Tina Greer. Like you think like it was the whole Ace Ventura thing, like Finkel and Einhorn. Like she's in the mental institution and she sees this guy went missing. And she's like, oh, I'm going to take his identity. Uh-huh. You know, Finkel is Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. So I don't like, she wasn't getting any newspaper. Not that you would even announce Lundling,
yeah.
Or maybe the Talon closing that, like you said, maybe that might've been it.
That could be
it. But they weren't giving her like newspapers. They're going to like children's books or stuff. So, that's a plot. That's a big plot. That's a big plot hole, of this episode. So anyway, so there you have it. But hey, Bechdel test pass, right? So
yes,
because we got couple scenes, at least two or three of Lana talking to Emma about the Talon, and Chloe was in that scene too.
That's
so
correct.
So there you go. So Bechdel test pass. We have another instance of the Talon almost closing. We'll get those numbers for you soon. And then we have a plus one for knockouts to keep Clark's secret, which makes it 21. So there you have it. That's what I'm gonna do it for our discussion on Forsaken, Lance. See you around.
Yeah.
people want to find you out there on the internet. Where can they find you?
Well, they can find me on Twitter at Sir Lance Laster.
And as for me, you can find me personally on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreOnZach. I'm also the host of another podcast on the Trek FM Network Standard Orbit. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. And as for the podcast here itself, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with 1S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Smallville on Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwayssmallville@gmail.com, once again with 1S. But we promised it at the beginning of the show, a very special announcement for you guys. We are launching a Always on Smallville Patreon.
Woo-hoo!
We're doing it. I'm going all in. Doing this. You know. want to talk to you. You know, special announcement. We're going to launch it. We're going to launch it in December. So you have all of November to sign up.
Okay.
details to come. But I wanted to announce it on this episode because Lance is going to be joining me on the majority of our Patreon content. And I'll get to that in a second. But why do Patreon, right? And, you know, to be honest, you know, the podcast takes time, takes money. Spending all the time and the effort that I do on it, you know, it will kind of, you know, help me along, you know, to keep getting it done and keep it the priority that I want to keep it.
Yeah.
You know, pay for the expenses, you know, that it takes to run this thing because it's not free, you know, just to be real. Like people ask me, are you gonna make money off this thing? No, I actually lose money. I lose money. I lose time. I lose friendships. you know, that's what happens when you do a podcast, but I do it for y'all. So it's fine. No, but I do it for the love of the show and I enjoy doing it. But in order to stick to a normal schedule and to kind of, you know, create some structure to things and you know, get things, you know, out to y'all in a timely manner, this will help the production of the show. It will also help bringing additional content. You know, people say they want to hear us talk about other superhero stuff. That's exactly what we're going to do. So just to give you kind of a framework flyover of what we're looking at, we're going to have 3 episodes of Smallville every month. We'll be covered on this show from now on. And there's no paywall for those. You know, every episode of Smallville will be covered on the normal feed. Now, on the Patreon feed, we're going to have 4 levels of patronage. The first level would be the Meteor Freak level. For $1 a month, you and your Twitter handle, if you have one, will be mentioned on the podcast as a Patreon contributor, as a producer of the show. So for $1 a month, that's all you got to do. For less than 10 cents a day, right? But no, it's just $1 a month, and that will get you on a mention on every single episode of Always on Smallville as being a patron. Now, our next level up will be $5 a month, and that would be the Torch Staff. And what that would be is you would get 2 commentaries every month of me and most of the time Lance of superhero movies. Now, we're going to start with Batman 1989. Which is one of our favorite movies, and one of the most quotable superhero movies of all time. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, that one we'll put on the main feed so you guys can get a little taste of what those commentaries are going to be like. Then the next level up will be for $8 a month, you will get a extra theme discussion every month. One of these every month, probably an hour, hour and a half, same length as the episodes. And this could be about a lot of different things. It could be about the DC Elseworlds crossover coming up. It could be about Batman the Animated Series, you know, that just came out in HD. It could be about pitching an episode of Smallville, or like the women of Smallville, or, you know, little, you know, theme discussions that, you know, we kind of brush on the fringes of these during our episode coverage, but we're going to sit down and delve deep into them, you know, for an hour, hour and a half. Conversations. That'll be a lot of fun. So that's going to be once a month. And then finally, that's the Kawachi Tribe level, by the way. And then finally, and I don't know how many of y'all will be wanting to do this, but we're going to put it out there and see what happens. Our final level, our level 33.1, will be for $33.10 per month. You can be part of our roundtable every month. We'll have a roundtable discussion. Any of y'all who want to be part of that level and pay that subscription, I will be on the round table. Maybe Lance will see how much he wants to be part of these podcasts, but we can talk about, you know, anything you want. So Smallville related, not Smallville related, you know, what, just open forum discussion. You know, if you're paying that much, you guys set the topic, you know, we'll talk about it. So I know that's a high price, but I'm going to put it out there and see if anybody bites on it. And with 33.1, you know, $33.10, that's the cost because it makes sense with the number. There it is. Well, we'll see if that level has any success. I would love to talk to you guys about anything like that. So we'll see what happens, but that would be the schedule. It'd be Saturday, you know, 4 Saturdays a month. We'd have a commentary, the special theme discussion, the second commentary. And then if there is one, a roundtable at the end of every month. And then of course we'd have our 3 Smallville episode coverages on the main feed every month as well. So that's the flyover, guys. Hope you're excited about it. Lance, what do you think? Have I explained this pretty well? You think,
I think
Lance?
So, yeah.
Okay, cool. What are your thoughts on this?
I think this is cool for, you know, doing commentaries. Like we did that a couple of times.
In our podcasting years past, we've experimented with this.
Yeah,
yes,
we have. So it'll be kind of cool to try this again. And also, frankly, and selfishly, it'll be cool to like revisit some of these movies.
Yeah.
And to share my thoughts with them, with you listeners out there.
Absolutely. That'll be a lot of fun. So that's the deal, guys. Launching the Patreon. Like I said, it's going to go live in December. We have this whole month to kind of get set up. We will be posting the Batman commentary as part of the main feed. To kind of like as a taste,
yeah,
of what you guys will be expecting. Hopefully you guys will enjoy that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And hopefully as many... If you can't participate, great. I totally get, you know, if you can't. This is entertainment. This is frivolous stuff. You know, it's luxury, you know, to be able to pay for this kind of stuff. And I get it. So any kind of support you guys can give is much appreciated. And that's coming soon. I just love the Smallville. But before that, we have one last episode, Covenant, coming next week. Mr. Craig Barron from Krypton Site. You know him, you love him. We'll have lots of fun end of season 3 discussion. Talking about that one next week. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.